Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, March 21st. And the point guard of the present is back, and could the old Pistons point guard come back too? This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP freelancer out here in Chicago covering the NBA, been a Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And unlike some of the other shows we've been doing lately as far as finding some content to talk about, not the problem today, actually, a packed show with lots of news. We will talk about the big Pistons, not big, the Pistons win in terms of point difference. It was big, but nothing too large in terms of scale against the Phoenix Suns late on Tuesday night, and highlighted by Reggie Jackson's return from injury. And also be talking about the rumor passed along about Chauncey Billups by Mark Stein of the New York Times. I got some thoughts on its plausibility of Mr. Big Shot returning to his former roots here in Detroit, and what that could mean for the future of Stan Van Gundy as well, the plausibility of it happening, and what that means for Stan, too. We're also going to be hearing from Commissioner Adam Silver about tanking in an excerpt of an interview from the Locked On NBA show. The full interview will run on Thursday's show, so you're going to want to check that out. Also, some comments from Blake Griffin to the Undefeated website on ESPN about his time with the Clippers in comparison to his time with the Pistons. And also, I was at the Grand Rapids Drive game in Hoffman Estates here in suburban Chicago on Tuesday, a win for the Grand Rapids Drive of the G League against the Windy City Bulls. And I talked to Coach Ryan Kruger afterward. We're going to talk more about that game on Thursday. As like I said, we got a packed show today. And I'll also on Thursday be passing along my interview I did with Kay Felder after the game, but we're going to be playing the Ryan Kruger interview as well, as the Drive got the win and are now, the magic number is just one for them to be clinching their playoff spot in the G League, the first time that the Grand Rapids Drive would make the playoffs in their 4 years of existence in the G League. But the Pistons got the win Tuesday night in Phoenix, 115-88. No Devin Booker, no TJ Warren for Phoenix, pretty much their best two players, although Josh Jackson playing really well lately. Pistons, by the way, now 5.5 games behind Milwaukee, 6 behind Miami. Milwaukee with the 8th seed right now in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee, by the way, hosting the Clippers tonight, and Miami will be hosting the New York Knicks. So rooting for Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley to somehow keep the, well, the Bradley's out for the year, Tobias Harris and Boban and all those guys to keep the Pistons season and playoff hopes alive. The magic number with the Bucks, as far as the Pistons go, is 7. I guess it'd be called the tragic number from the Pistons' perspective. So the combination of 7 Piston losses and Milwaukee wins would eliminate the Pistons from playoff contention with regard to tying the Bucks, the team that the Pistons would have the tiebreaker against. There's a different magic number with Miami. I didn't figure that one out. It's a little bit more difficult because Miami, like I said, has a 6-game lead over Detroit and the tiebreaker advantage over the Pistons. So if you factor in the Miami and the Milwaukee magic numbers, you probably have a different, more complex way of breaking that down. We're not going to do that here. Nobody needs to know that at this point. And I'm not smart enough to figure it out either. If it comes that the magic number is more accurate to be talked about with Miami, maybe we'll do that down the road. So like I said, magic number in regards to Milwaukee, which is the more plausible one right now, is 7. So for context, Detroit has 11 games left and Milwaukee has 12. So of those, plenty of chances for the Bucks to close the door on the Pistons season for all intents and purposes and get to that magic number of 7. But if you're an optimist, that's what the facts are right now. Reggie Jackson missed 37 games, and the day after Christmas against the Indiana Pacers, he went down with an ankle injury and came back for the first time against the Phoenix Suns, started, was on a minutes restriction. They said he'd play 12 to 16 minutes. He played 15, got 7 points, looked okay. I mean, nothing too telling either way. Obviously, he's going to shake off the rust in both regards. Made some J's, knocked down a confident 3-pointer in transition. Although I should say there's a lot of problems with Reggie Jackson, injuries being the main one, some other things that a lot of you guys know about and complain about all the time. Confidence will never be the problem with Reggie Jackson. So he had some badly missed jumpers as well, which you would expect in his first game back. I mean, if there was a choice about when to bring Reggie back as far as the game, the actual game that he would come back, and I don't know the particulars of the medical situation, whether it would have been possible before this or maybe even smarter to wait another couple days. Bringing him back against the Phoenix Suns and playing him 15 minutes is pretty much the perfect scenario for Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons, a real bad team that's the worst in the NBA right now. And it showed, obviously, on Tuesday night as the game wore on. Blake Griffin, 26 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. Just a professional game by a fringe all-star type of guy right now who the Pistons need to have more of those types of games in the future as they're married to him to the next this rest of this season and 4+ seasons after that as well. Showing that, you know, his game is considered by some to be a dinosaur in the NBA, today's NBA, but he's also showing that three-point shooting is an important part of the game, but not the only part of the game, and he's actually improved his three-point shooting some this year as well, knocked down some on Tuesday night, but some good playmaking, some post-ups in the half court as well. He kind of undressed Dragan Bender for much of that game, the young lottery pick a couple years ago with the Phoenix Suns. And how about going the length of the court for that chase down of Josh Jackson on the block in the third quarter, the Detroiter there. Just a nice show of effort by Blake Griffin, which is something we need to see from him defensively going forward. You can't get too excited about a win against the Phoenix Suns, obviously, and not much reason to get excited about anything, except if you're looking ahead to next season and thinking about what this big three of Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond could look like. They had that show off in the third quarter there with the playmaking, that they had a modified pick and roll of sorts where Reggie didn't get the ball until after he got the pick from Andre Drummond there. Drummond rolled to the basket. Blake from the other side of the court threw the pass to Reggie coming off the pick, and that set up the alley-oop there. So a nice little interesting wrinkle there as far as sets and plays from those three. So you got kind of a taste of it all, like I said, albeit against a really bad team right now that's looking towards the next season and seasons beyond and the draft this June as well. So it's hard to know what's real against these awful teams. The Pistons didn't look completely impressive for 48 minutes against Sacramento or Phoenix, but certainly got convincing wins in both of those. But the Pistons have some real opponents down the stretch too, so we'll see what this team looks like against teams fighting for their own playoff lives. And then some other games as well, or including Thursday in the Lone Star State, will be taking on the Houston Rockets, who are putting together one of the better seasons in recent memory for the NBA in totality. So 16 points for Luke Kennard off the bench, 13 for Ish Smith off the bench. And doesn't it sound nice to say Ish Smith off the bench? No offense to Ishmael, but obviously not a starting caliber point guard in the NBA. And it showed throughout this long stretch without Reggie Jackson. So good to see Ish back where he belongs on the bench. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. He's what, you know, a highlight player off the bench and can make a lot of things happen for the Pistons in that position. 10-5 for Ennis, James Ennis, with the rebounds there, 5 boards. First good game in a while for him. So nice to see that as well. But here on Locked On Pistons, we're going to be talking about the possible return of Mr. Big Shot to Detroit. Chauncey Billups in the news, linked to the Pistons. We'll be talking about the report, the denial, and what this could mean either way, if it happens or doesn't, for the Pistons going forward. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you guys should sponsor Locked On Pistons, which is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
That's right, Mason. Chauncey could be coming back. A little bit later, we're going to be talking to Grand Rapids Drive coach Ryan Krueger after their team's win on Tuesday night here in the Windy City. But could Mr. Big Shot be on his way back into Detroit? Mark Stein of the New York Times, formerly of ESPN.com, had this nugget online on Tuesday that he passed along and threw Pistons fans for a little bit of a loop on Tuesday afternoon. He says, an additional layer of palace intrigue has since emerged. League sources say Detroit has great interest in hiring the Pistons' backcourt mainstay, former Pistons' backcourt mainstay, Chauncey Billups, to work in tandem with Arne Tellem in a totally revamped front office. Billups ultimately rejected the opportunity to take over Cleveland's front office last summer, at least in part because he wasn't prepared to leave his television role with ESPN and the time it affords him with his family in Denver. But there's a growing sense that the Pistons believe they have a real shot to convince Billups to make the leap this time, which would undoubtedly be well-received by the local fan base, given Billups' stature in the Detroit community. So obviously interesting rumors being thrown around, and what we thought could have been a very uninteresting offseason approaching for the Pistons. Maybe that could be changing and they could be grabbing some headlines still. Chauncey went on to say when he was talked to by Mark J. Spears of The Undefeated, ESPN's microsite there, Chauncey said, "I'm very happy with the on-air opportunities ESPN has given me to talk about the NBA in the studio and at games. Of course, I love my Pistons and Detroit, but I would never push for a job with any NBA franchise that is not open. That's not part of my character." So nice to see Chauncey kind of taking the high road there. And like, as you remember, as referenced by the Mark Stein quote there, Dan Gilbert and the Cavs went after Chauncey Billups to possibly run their organization last summer after firing David Griffin, but went with Kobe Altman instead, the in-house candidate, as Chauncey pretty much turned them down. Gilbert was trying to, he's trying to build the Pistons in some ways. He tripped into the reincarnation of LeBron James coming back to him and winning that title, but it's been a floundering franchise otherwise. It's a team that, like I said, just kind of lucked in the fact that the best player, possibly one of the best, the second, first or second best player ever, and we won't get into that debate right now. I'm still an MJ guy, by the way, but was happened to be born outside of Cleveland in Akron. So, but anyway, Gilbert poached Fred McLeod of the TV fame from the Pistons. He tried to get John Mason to join them as well, and now he went after our boy Chauncey Billups last offseason. But no, Dan Gilbert, if Chauncey's going to come to the NBA in a front office position, hopefully it someday would be with the Pistons. But what does it mean? Well, whoever floated the rumor and report to Stein has to know something, or else Stein wouldn't have went with it. It behooves Chauncey, of course, to be respectful of Stan Van Gundy and deny it as of right now. No reason to confirm it in the middle of the season. But it possibly suggests also that Chauncey might be open to keeping Stan Van Gundy as a coach if he comes into the front office, and maybe they strip some of the coaching, or I'm sorry, the front office responsibilities that Stan Van Gundy has right now, the reason that he came out of retirement and back with the Pistons. And surely if they kept Stan Van Gundy, that would be awkward, but it fit and it worked out in places such as Atlanta and with the Clippers this season. Those teams took a step forward from last season with Doc Rivers and Mike Budenholzer being stripped of the front office positions and kept on as coaches. The Clippers overachieved this year despite trading away their two best players, and their outlook for their future seems brighter. Atlanta has a nice defensive mindset going, and they achieved the goals of tanking this year, so the records aren't pretty, certainly for Atlanta, and not as good for the Clippers, but I'd say successful years for both of those franchises after making those similar moves that the Pistons might be contemplating with Stan Van Gundy this offseason. In many ways, Chauncey would have a similar choice that Bob Quinn did when he took over the Lions a couple years back. Is it, do you keep Jim Caldwell, even though he's not the guy that you brought in, your guy, when you were brought into the situation to run the team, and see how it goes? And that's what Bob Quinn did with Jim Caldwell. And he did so well in Bob Quinn's first year with the Lions that they had to keep him. And then in year two, they had a mediocre year this past year, kind of took a slight step back, didn't make the playoffs. And that was enough to let him go. So in some ways, that kind of hindered the Bob Quinn's chances of getting his coach in right away. But they got Matt Patricia this year, probably the guy that maybe he would have looked at in past years anyway. So maybe doing a little bit of an organizational, checking up on what's going on with the organization, give a little analysis there before making your bold move as a coach. But then again, if Chauncey comes in, he's got enough capital with the fan base right now that he could certainly come in and make whatever moves he wants. And if that gets rid of Stan Van Gundy, certainly there's a lot of Pistons fans that would be happy about that. So that would be an interesting thing. So it'd be interesting to see if Chauncey comes. It'd be interesting to see what Chauncey does right away. Does he come in and try to trade Andre Drummond? Or maybe is it possible that Blake Griffin has moved? And I've seen some people floating that idea. I don't see how that's likely. But with the new regime, obviously Stan Van Gundy wouldn't be trading Blake Griffin this summer, but maybe Chauncey Billups figures out a way to do that. So would he be bold, and would he try to see how, or would he try to see how that big three fits for a season, see what Stan Van Gundy can do with it? You know, we'll see. One way or another, I do expect Stan Van Gundy to be marginalized in the front office, for Arne Tellem to step in, as I've said on this podcast before. Tellem's kind of handled big projects for Tom Gores in his first couple years, moving the team downtown to Little Caesars Arena, getting the practice facility ground broken, all that kind of stuff that's getting the organizational wheels in motion. Well, now here's another one that could be revamping the Pistons roster. which could use a groundbreaking of its own in some ways. Other big Pistons news from Tuesday comes from also Mark Spears of the undefeated. Blake Griffin had some comments. The story talked about how the Pistons were playing at Topgolf the night before the Sacramento game on Sunday night. Just kind of a feel-good anecdote that everyone's happy and getting along in a story where Blake Griffin went off on the LA Clippers, his former team. In the story, Blake was quoted as saying, "If I wasn't happy with where I was at or excited to be here, it would take a little bit longer," Griffin said of the transition. "But as soon as I got here to Detroit, the franchise, the way they go about taking care of the players, the way they do everything, is first class. So that makes the transition much easier. Stan and the whole staff has been awesome. I'm not looking back. I haven't put much thought into it, to be honest. I've been so focused on making this transition and adjusting to this change that I haven't put that much thought into it. I never ever want to be put in a place where I'm not wanted. Coming here made me realize what a franchise looks like." So obviously taking some shots at the Clippers, he went on to say that him getting traded after getting the big contract 6 months before in the offseason, quote, shows people's true colors. So, it's a business. He acknowledged that it is a business as well. But Blake kind of shooting back at the LA Clippers there. Nice to see that Blake putting together some nice games on the court lately, and the team finally got a couple of wins against a couple of tanking teams in Sacramento and Phoenix. But, you know, so many parts, moving parts with the team. The Pistons, like I said, for a few days there, we were stretching for stories to talk about. We had the Red Wings writer on Tuesday, and I just was looking to Halloween, the beginning of next season, thinking, how are we going to fill all this content on Locked On Pistons for the next few months? But I think maybe we will have a more interesting offseason ahead than maybe we would have thought. And Blake Griffin and his comments and willingness to speak up on things, especially the LA Clippers and his past, might be a storyline that we'll continue to follow as well. Another big story from the Locked On Podcast Network, David Locke, our founder and the guy who hosts the Utah Jazz podcast, Locked On Jazz, the radio broadcaster for the team. He interviewed NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And you should check that one out definitely on Thursday's episode of the Locked On NBA podcast, which is one that you should also subscribe to and listen to. It's 5 days a week now. We have a rotating group of hosts that do that. David asked Silver about one of the byproducts of tanking and how that could become a real problem if more legalized gambling is allowed nationwide. Legalized sports gambling is a big topic here in Illinois right now, where there's more steam right now in state government about legalizing sports betting should the federal government give it the okay first. So here's what Adam Silver had to say about that.
You've been forward-thinking in regards to gambling. If you do get involved with gambling the way it's been talked about, do you have to eliminate anything that incentivizes losing?
That's a great question. I mean, the problem is, if you put it that starkly, that any time you have a draft that rewards a team for poor performance, and reward by meaning the very purpose of the draft as we have it is to help the poorest performing teams restock with the best incoming players, I guess I can't answer that question affirmatively that we can eliminate anything. I think, though, that to the extent sports betting becomes legal, widespread in the United States, not just in Nevada, that we're going to have to especially focus on a lot of these integrity issues, and that, you know, it doesn't just go to those people who will be betting on the games, legally betting on the games, but it's something that goes to the heart of what a sports league is about, and that's competition. Now, my hesitation a little bit too is, you know, putting aside tanking, I'll say the word, which to me suggests players or coaches are intentionally losing games, and I think if I, as the commissioner, ever thought that was what was actually happening on the floor, of course we'd step in. But then there is a legitimate rebuilding. You see it in lots of businesses where an organization says we need to bring in new talent. It's going to take time to develop and train them, or we have some existing talent, and as you see sometimes in the league with young players that aren't getting a lot of minutes. So I'm not about to penalize a team for trading away a veteran to get draft picks, because that's how the league works. So finding and calibrating this is not an exact science, but we'll even have to spend that much more time focused on it if sports betting becomes legal.
Adam Silver sticking up for some teams that are in the middle of tankathon, and he's right. And to their credit, the league has made steps towards taking care of it with the you know, pressuring some teams to get some players in the game like they did with the Chicago Bulls a couple weeks back, and also with the provisions that they've changed with the NBA draft lottery that will get into effect next summer, as the percentages will go down for the worst teams in the league as far as getting one of those top three picks. So this will be the last year that the percentages will be at that top level for the worst teams in the league to get the higher picks. So it's de-incentivizing the losing, especially in the spring as the season goes on. So interesting interview with Adam Silver. I've heard a lot more clips, and David Locke did a good job of pressing him on some things that aren't top of mind for maybe what the news stories are pertaining to the NBA right now, including asking him about different start times to try to get the international market a little bit more involved, and some interesting things and some of the social issues that are going on with the team. And also he asked him about what he hopes his legacy will be as commissioner of the NBA as well. But up next, we're going to be talking to Grand Rapids Drive coach Ryan Krueger, who got his team another win on Tuesday in the Windy City, talking about the playoff stretch, which is coming up as the Drive only have two games left in the regular season this weekend. But speaking of coaches, another new coach in Detroit, Locked On Lions, Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. He's been on fire lately. Obviously, the free agency, the draft coming up soon, Eric Ebron going to Indianapolis, the longtime Matt Derry nemesis. A great listen. You should definitely be checking that out. And thanks to Matt for pushing our show on his podcast as well. A great guy. Those old DFN guys that I used to work with to a person. They were all good dudes. And glad that Matt Derry is doing a great job here on the Locked On Network. But check out the other NBA podcasts and other NFL podcasts as well. Adding MLB podcasts this year as well. So we're the Locked On Network, and we've got everything you need to know about your team every day. The Grand Rapids Drive got a 104-93 victory on Tuesday night here against the Windy City Bulls in suburban Chicago. Landry Noko, the former Clemson big man, 6'10", kind of feasted on the Windy City Bulls, who were thin inside, so he kind of had his way with them. Another former Clemson Tiger, KJ McDaniels, who plays with the Grand Rapids Drive. You might know him from his Philadelphia 76ers days when he started off his career there when they were at the very bottom of the NBA. He was kind of a bright spot for them in his couple years in Philly. He's trying to resurrect his career a little bit with the Grand Rapids Drive, the Pistons G League team and the affiliated team with Detroit there. Speedy Smith also had a nice game off the bench for the Grand Rapids Drive. He was filling in for Kay Felder, who played 12 minutes in the first half but didn't play in the second half. I talked to him after the game. He says he's got a little bit of back pain but hopes to be back for the games this weekend for the Drive. The Drive clinched their best record of all time with the victory. They're a four-year franchise right now and have two home games to finish off the regular season. Friday night against Greensboro at the Deltaplex in Grand Rapids, and also Saturday night against Long Island. If the Drive are able to win either of those two games or get a little help, they will wrap up a playoff berth for the first time in their existence. So some exciting times in Grand Rapids for those guys. A nice little following. I shouldn't say little. A nice following for the Grand Rapids fans, which is something that Coach Ryan Krueger talked about as I talked to him after the game at Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Ryan Krueger took over about a month into the season for the Pistons affiliate this year. Rob Werdan, who was the first-year head coach for the team, stepped down to address what they called a family issue at the time. I'm not really sure exactly what happened right there. But Krueger, who had never had been a head coach at any level, stepped up and took over. He was the assistant at the time. He came up through the New Jersey Nets as kind of a film coordinator and became assistant coach, a little bit of the Eric Spoelstra story there with Miami. But he was there during the 2003-2004 seasons, and I talked to him about that, going up against the Pistons in the playoffs back then. And he was a former assistant at Lehigh as well. So he coached C.J. McCollum, who's now one of the NBA's better guards for the Portland Trailblazers. So here's Ryan Krueger after Tuesday's game talking about the Grand Rapids Drive.
You guys are playing so well right now at the end of the season, closing it out. How this team's responding to the push to the playoffs right now?
You know, they are playing pretty well. You know, we're getting good effort from 12 guys. And, you know, they're kind of on a mission. And, you know, just really pleased with the effort at both ends. Tonight wasn't our best night. You know, Windy City is a good team, and we've been playing really good teams down the stretch. You know, playoff teams. This is a playoff type team. Obviously, didn't have their full complement of guys, but you know, the challenge, we're rising to the challenge that's put in front of us, which is great.
And tonight it was Speedy Smith and KJ McDaniels, as he's done all year off the bench for you guys. Talk about that bench and the way that they've been stepping up for you.
I mean, I think the best thing about this team is no matter who we put in the game, we're really, really confident with. So there are guys that finish the game that don't always start the game for us. We never know who's going to, you know, be the big spark. Zeke Upshaw was terrific for us in the first half. Right, we were having real trouble scoring. You know, he got us going, making some shots. KJ's been great at both ends, and a guy that we just can't not have on the floor at the end of the game. So, you know, just across the board, we're really, really comfortable. I mean, Kay Felder goes down, and we sit him in the second half. Speedy was terrific. And that's just kind of the MO of this team, which is really, really special. I think it's a credit to those guys.
Now, Coach, you came into the NBA with the New Jersey Nets back in 2003, so you had a couple playoff series against the old going-to-work Pistons back then. As coach of this team, are you trying to instill some of that that you saw from the Ben Wallace-type teams back then in reminding the guys that you are part of the Detroit Pistons organization now?
Absolutely. I don't love you bringing that up, right? The Pistons did end up beating us, but, I mean, playoffs are, you know, it's a real battle. And no matter, our goal has never been just to make it to the playoffs, right? Our goal is to get our guys better, to see some improvement, to improve their skills, and to put them in a better position at the end of the season than when they started. The byproduct of that, you know, is these guys are playing hard. They bought in. They are improving. But at the same time, they bought into you know, doing what's asked of them at both ends of the floor, playing hard defensively, executing the game plan, sharing the ball, and, you know, winning has been a byproduct of that. So, you know, anytime that you can instill some toughness like the Pistons, you know, the old bad boys, you know, that's never a bad thing. And I think, you know, we have a little ways to go there. But, you know, show the toughness and the strength finishing this one out, you know, even when we didn't play our best tonight.
Good chunk of the season now with Kay Felder on the roster for you guys. You mentioned didn't play the second half tonight, but what's he meant to this team and what's he brought to you guys?
He's been really, really good. I mean, you know, he brings a dimension that, you know, we don't really have or hadn't had prior to him. Just a guy that can just go and get some baskets, but I feel like he's really improved in a lot of ways. You know, he's been great in transition where he can just kind of go up and down and make plays, but he's really getting better organizing our team, getting other guys' shots, knowing when he needs to look for his shot, knowing when he needs to get other guys going. And defensively, he's more and more consistent each and every game. You know, it might be three plays, great. You know, two plays, you know, maybe we don't give multiple efforts, and now it's consistently possession after possession, multiple efforts, doing a great job on the ball, blocking guys out just across the board. Really pleased with him at both ends.
And the big fella Landry Nyoko had his way tonight with not a lot of depth down inside for Windy City. He's been putting up big numbers for you guys all year. Has he been kind of controlling the paint for you guys pretty much the whole season?
Absolutely. He's been doing that all season. And his thing is he just, you know, is out there playing his tail off. He plays as hard as he can possibly play, right? 48 games right there. There's almost no games to stand out where he didn't play as hard as he can possibly play. We don't run a lot of plays for him. He continues to rebound at a high level. He doesn't complain. He's gotten better handling the ball as a hub for us, you know, playing on the perimeter a little bit. And he's been terrific at the defensive end, like I mentioned, defensive rebounding and, you know, guarding and pick and rolls. So really, really pleased with him and, you know, and his development.
A lot of the listeners are Pistons fans that maybe have not seen the drive play. Telling some Pistons fans about the program that you're instilling down here, and also if they want to come out to Grand Rapids and catch a game, what can they expect to see from this team?
I think we have one of the best environments in the G League, and our players have said that they've been other places, and they just love the environment at the Deltaplex that we play in. We have fans that care about our team. It's loud in there. You know, the team has been playing well, and we're just trying to implement kind of the piston system, you know, what Coach Van Gundy wants us to implement. You know, obviously that's a defensive first mentality, and I think for the most part of the season we've done that. I think in the first half we did a really good job here tonight, but you know, offensively playing with pace, executing, which we could have done a better job of tonight, but just that toughness that you talked about, and you know, implementing kind of Coach Van Gundy's idea for the team, you know, that we have here as well, because we're an extension of those guys.
Coach Kruger, thanks for taking the time. Good luck this weekend, and good luck for hopefully a nice long run in the playoffs.
I appreciate it.
Coach Ryan Kruger of the Grand Rapids Drive, go ahead and check out a game. It's some pretty fun basketball. They space it out. They don't play a whole lot of defense in the league. It's kind of the rap on the D-League, but they're competing now. They're competing for a playoff spot. So if you're in West Michigan this weekend, go check them out on Friday or Saturday. But the good news is you might have some playoff games to check out in the future. And shout out to all the Grand Rapids fans who are listening to today. Let me know what you think about the team and how things are going with the Grand Rapids Drive. I'd like to connect with some of you guys on social media as well and turn you into regular Locked On Pistons listeners too. But tomorrow's podcast, I'm going to have more about the Grand Rapids Drive. I'm going to have my interview with Kay Felder. I talked to him after the game, the former Oakland University standout who the Pistons have as a two-way player, one of the two-way players along with Reggie Hearn that are playing on the Grand Rapids Drive, but also part of the Pistons team as well. We're going to be looking forward to Thursday's game against the Houston Rockets, who are burning up the NBA right now, and then we're going to be talking about the weekend as well. Give us a follow on the Twitter handle LockedOnNBANet for the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed, and also give us a like on Facebook at LockedOnPistons-MatchUp. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you all again soon.